Tonight is Wednesday night, December the 4th. This is the Women's Mishnah Gemara Share. We are doing topics emerging from Masechet Brachot. And we continue, this is the third share on the Mitzvah of Hallel. Okay, Rabotai. Okay, we continue tonight on our discussion and learning about the Mitzvah of Hallel. And thus far, we have spent two shiurim, shiur number one, focusing on whether or not the mitzvah of Hallel is a d'oraita or the rabbanan. That was a machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban. Rambam always believing that the mitzvah of Hallel is a d'rabbanan, and the Ramban believing that at least on certain occasions, Hallel is a d'oraita. And last week, we discussed whether or not, and this was the Ramban's, one of his theories, that the mitzvah of Hallel, what makes it the oraita, is that it is subsumed under the mitzvah of simcha of a Yom Tov. Because simcha does not only mean to fresh meat and potato salad, that's not what it means. It means to express an opportunity to feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what simcha typically is defined as in the Torah. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. And once you experience that high of getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is manifest through simcha and saying Hallel, praise unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we saw a variety of sources that confirmed it. Tonight, we're going to see a third possibility, and that possibility is suggested by Daniel HaBavli. Not a well-known character, Daniel HaBavli. He was one of the Geonim in Baghdad, and he had a relationship with the Rambam's son, Rabbi Avraham ben HaRambam. They corresponded a lot, and Avraham ben HaRambam challenged him quite frequently in halachic issues. And just as one word of just something about the Rambam vis-a-vis his son, the Rambam wrote in a letter once that the two things that make him happiest is analyzing God's Torah and the delight that he has in his son, Rabbi Avraham. That's what the Rambam wrote about Rabbi Avraham ben HaRambam. Even though... I believe it was, yes. But as happens so frequently with children, there should be, I made more than 25, with children of outstanding scholars, sometimes their children find it very difficult to match up to the standards of their father, and they get a little depressed, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, once commented that he had the misfortune of being Rav Chaim Brisker's son and the Rav's father. And he was outclassed by both of them. And he was sandwiched in the middle. He was a plenty, plenty big Talmud Chacham, that's for sure. But didn't quite attain their stature. So anyhow, Daniel HaBavli is of the opinion, and he wrote it in a tshuva called, as it says in the parentheses, Masa Nisim, and neither Safaria nor Bar Ilan carry this set of tshuvot of Daniel HaBavli, so I had to quote it from a place that I saw it quoted. Huva la'el, it has been brought previously, Sharabi Daniel HaBavli kosav, Shahamakor, that the source of the mitzvah of Hallel, who meha pasuk, Shiru Lashem ki ga'o ga'a. The pasuk in the Shira, which we recite every single day. this identical phrase, this phrase was authored by Moshe Rabbeinu and by Miriam. Both of them said the exact same words. Shiru Lashem ki ga'o ga'a. Shinitztavinu bazeh lomar halel al yitziat Mitzrayim. We were commanded at this point to recite Hallel on Yitzias Mitzrayim. Umikan makor lechovat Hallel b'chol ha-mo'adim. And this pasuk serves as the reference for the source for Hallel to be recited for all of the festivals. Shaharei heim kulam zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim. Every single one of the festivals somehow commemorates an aspect of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vigam lamdu mizeh, and they also learned from this, sheyesh chova lehalel ulishabeach l'Hashem b'chol eit sheyera'eh nitzchono ugevurato. That part of the definition of the mitzvah is that if we have the privilege of seeing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu triumphs, triumphs over his and our enemies, and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu triumphs is by using his givurah, his might, his power, that too is included in the mitzvah of Shiru Lashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a. Umitzvah mid'oraita hi lifarsem et nisei Hashem. There is a biblical commandment to engage in publicizing the miracles wrought by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulefikach, chovat halel uparsume nisa b'chanukah af hi mid'oraita. And as a result, says Rabbi Daniel, not only is the recitation of Hallel et d'oraita on the Chagim, but Hallel is also a d'oraita, even though the essential core Chag is only Midrabbanan. Now that's not a shock. If you believe that the principle is indeed Midrabbanan, articulated Midrabbanan. Yes, question.
So how
that's it, no more. Yeah, okay. Basically,
how is that a seaboard?
It's a command. Shiru Lashem, please sing. He's speaking, Moshe is speaking to Bnei Yisrael. Az Yashir Moshe uVnei Yisrael atashira hazo. So Moshe is commanding them, Shiru Lashem. Why? Ki ga'o ga'a. What did he do? Sus v'rochvo ramah bayam. And in fact, there is a discussion, not for tonight, but based, if you should assume that this is indeed the source, it teaches us a very important halacha, that Am Yisrael did not sing Shira when they left Mitzrayim. Now they saw plenty of Nisim and Niflaot in Mitzrayim, and they did exactly what Daniel HaBavli saw, said. What did they see? God prevailing over the enemy and Gvurat Hashem. That's what the whole Seder is all about. Highlighting Gvurot Hashem. So how come we don't say, how come Am Yisrael didn't say Hallel at Yitzias Mitzrayim on the night of the 15th when they left Mitzrayim? Why didn't they say Hallel? So some say because 2 seconds later, a couple of days later, the Egyptians pursued them. You only recite the Hallel on the completion of that victory, not in the interim stage. Not in the interim stage. And that issue about expressing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about an interim stage is also discussed concerning our day and age today. Our day and age today. So, you know, We who recite Reshit Tzmichat Geulatenu, we know it is only Reshit. And Dr. Rabbi Lam refused to say Reshit Tzmichat Geulatenu. Because he said, how do we know there have been so many other times when it appeared that it is, he hopes it will be Reshit Tzmichat Gulatayinu. Doesn't diminish his support and recognition of what Medinat Yisrael represents, but we can never be guaranteed that this is indeed Reshit Tzmichat Gulatayinu. Even though many have said that it is. You know, far more right-wing people, Chafetz Chaim, a lot of people said that it was Reshit Tzmichat Gulatayinu. But anyhow, it also expresses itself in Birchat HaGomel. Somebody is ill, quite ill, and has made enormous improvement. They're out of the hospital, but they're not out of the woods completely. Do you wait until, let's say somebody, Rahman al-San, has cancer? So the person could be finished, you know, doing chemo and radiation, and then they finish that stage. And there is some degree of, certainly worth thanking HaKadosh Baruch, but they're not cancer-free yet. So there is this discussion for Hallel, not only in relationship to the recitation of Hallel, but also another form of thanksgiving, when is the appropriate time? Is it stages, and you then could say Birchat HaGomel three times or four times, or is it only when you've reached a refuah shilema? So that's part of this discussion, and it's according to Daniel Abavli, since the source is Shirul Hashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a, and that was only done at Kriyat Yamsuf, not at Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that expresses that particular opinion. Yes?
It seems to me that we're talking about two different functions of Hallel. One is at the moment when something amazing happens, like you're saying, Kriyas Yamsuf, wow, they should have broken out Hallel. Another is the commemorative Hallel to say, I'm remembering this miracle and I want to be pursuing Nes on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for pursuing Nes because they were at the miracle. They saw it. So that's
good.
Not...
So what you are saying is, in effect, what the Brisker Rav said. Why is it that for the most... obvious time that Hallel is recited. What's the most obvious day of the year when it is appropriate to recite Hallel? When Pesach? At night of Pesach. Now, there is one pasuk. Every Gemara that we saw, the 18 times that you recite Hallel, 21 in Chutz La'aretz, they're all talking about during the daytime. You never said, there's no reference in that brisa. It said, Yud Chet Yamim. It is the 18 times when they say Hallel during davening, during shachars. Never talk. There is a pasuk in Yecheskel which says, Hashir Hazeh Yieh Lochem Kileil Hitkadesh Chag. This song will be the song for the night of Yom Tov, which has special sanctity, and that's for the Ham. So there is a major discussion, not for tonight, why there is no bracha recited on the Hallel at the Seder. You may have discussed this at your Siddur. Mm-hmm. We just start saying, V'nomar lefanav shira chadasha, hallelujah. Why don't you say, Asher Kishanu Tzayis V'Tzivanu, likroes a Hallel, like we always do. So some say, well, if you come to Rinat and other shuls, they recite Hallel in the Beit Knesset on the first two nights of Pesach. Mm-hmm. First two nights of Pesach. It used to be only Chassidim. Ashkenazim shul never ever said Hallel. Never. But since the Rav was a big fan of saying Hallel and the Vilna Gaon, and all the Rav's Talmidim all across the Rabbi shul, many Ashkenaz shuls now say Hallel. So some say you said Hallel in the Beit Knesset. That covers the Hallel for the Seder as well. The Brisker Rav, the Rav's uncle, Rav Chaim's son, said no. We recited the Seder, not that we are not just recalling the history of what happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is it? It's Bechol Dor Vador, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo, Ki Ilu Hu Yatsa. And Rambam adds the word Ata now, Ayin Tafe, Ata Mi Mitzrayim. So as you just said, if you are a member of the episode, I don't have to be commanded to say Hallel. It's just a natural response. And that's what the Brisker Rav calls Shira, That's the difference between Shira and Hallel. Shira is a spontaneous response to God's assistance. Hallel is after the event takes place, years later, you want to recall it, and that you need a bracha. Somebody has to tell you to say Hallel. Ashikit, that's how he explains it. That's how he explains it. Yeah. But it's a good point. And in fact, it's one of the funny things about the Briska family. Reb Chaim said Hallel on Pesach at night. His son, the Briska Rav, did not feel it was appropriate to say Hallel and Shul on Pesach at night. Now, the halacha is that if you are in Shul, when somebody is saying, if the Tzibur is saying Hallel, you are not permitted to remain silent. Because that demonstrates that you don't acknowledge what they're doing is appropriate. So on the night of Pesach, the Briska Rav davened Shmona Esrei for Maariv faster than anybody in the shul. So he ran out of the shul before the chazan would start Hallel. So it's not Hallel. It's just because he didn't want to be caught in the shul because he didn't feel you should be saying Hallel. So his father said Hallel, his son said Hallel, but he didn't say Hallel. He didn't say Hallel. Funny Briska Rav story. Yeah. Yes.
Just as an aside, I think, is that why we say Likroet HaHalel and not Lashiret HaHalel? Because Lashir would be...
Could very well be. Could very well be. We've never found such a text. There are only two choices for Hallel. Ligmor et HaHalel or Likro. Sfardim say Ligmor, not Likro. Yeah. Yes?
Does we not say Hallel right after Shmon Esrei?
Right after Shmon Esrei.
But they probably say it after Mar. Those who stay, and we say it after Mara, and those who...
Why? Why are you accommodating them?
It's more optional.
Why are you accommodating them?
Ask for my new order, I don't
know. Oh, okay. Of course we do it right away. Of course. And people come to shul because they sound. It's the nicest davening of the year, the first two nights of Pesach. Mm-hmm. Nicest davening of the year. Yeah. So anyhow, that as an aside again, that's the real reason why if your parents are alive... You walk out for Yizkor. Not because, you know, it's a Ayin Hara or something like that. It's because if the Tzibur is saying something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember someone, to remember those who passed during the Shoah, or whatever it is, or even prior, you can't sit there like a klutz sitting there. So we walk out. Yeah.
So for those of us that arrive somewhat later on Yom Tov, if we're not at the Hallel, catching up, we should stop and say Hallel with the
Tzibur. Yes. Yes. Sure. Now, this Daniel HaBavli already took care of what he thinks Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam's question is going to be. Right afterwards, you have a Gemara in Masechet Shabbat Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks in Masechet Shabbat Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara right after that source that I cited, my mivarech. When we light candles, Chanukah night, what is the text of the bracha? Answers the Gemara, mivarech. Everybody knows this. Asher kedeshuni b'mitzvoyse v'tzivuni lahadlik ne'er shel Chanukah. Fine. Asks the Gemara, v'heichan tzivanu. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to light the candles? So, this is a very famous question, and there are two answers. Rav Avya Amar, Milo Tasur. Rav Avya says, based on the fact, it says in Parshat Shoftim, Lo Tasur, Mikol Hadavar, Asher Yagidu Lecha, Yamin Usmol. Don't deviate from anything that they tell you, they, the rabbis, to the right or to the left. So in effect, Rav Avya suggests that every mitzvah midrabanan has its roots in a d'oraita, lo tasur. So it's true that the rabbis do not have a right to tell us to light candles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't legislate it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu legislated, listen to the rabbis. That's where it's veheichan sivanu. Rav Nechemya Omar, it's a similar command. Sha'al avicha v'yageidcha, zikeinecha v'yomru lach. And Rashi in Chumash says, zikeinecha and Avicha are not your literal biological parents and grandparents. It means your Rabbanim and your Dayanim. Ask them what to do. So they told you to say Hallel, say light the candles, and make a bracha. Go ahead and do so. So, Now, Rabbi Avraham asked Rab Daniel Habavli, you can't be right that the recitation of Chanukah, Hallel on Chanukah, is a da'oraita based on Oz Yashir. Why? How does this question challenge Daniel Habavli? How does the Gemara's question about lighting candles challenge Daniel Habavli?
So he's saying that it's anything that the rabbis command is in a sense d'oraita, because
that's what Daniel Habavli said. So why is Avraham ben Harambam challenging Daniel from this Gemara?
He's saying it's not in the Torah, whereas Daniel says that it's good. Actually in
if
the Torah.
If Daniel Habavli were here and they said, do I need a pasuk, another pasuk to tell me to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles that he wrought during Hanukkah time? No. Because there's a premise that he's operating with, which Avraham ben Arambam is operating with, and Daniel Habavli. It's not just the recitation of Hallel, which is incorporated on the Shirul Hashem Kigaoga. It's any mitzvah which is designed to do what? Be mefarsem anes. Any mitzvah. You can be mefarsem a miracle in a variety of ways. You can recite the Hallel, and what else can you do? You can light the candle on Hanukkah. What else can you do on Purim? You can read the Megillah. You can give Mishloach Manot. There are a variety of ways. What? Yes, 100%. There are a variety of ways to do it. And each one of those ways, the core value is always Parsumi Nisa. So why would the Gemara be struggling to find a biblical source, Veheichan Tzivanu, and you have to come up like this, because it says, Lo Tasur. The Torah says, don't deviate from the words of the rabbi. I have a much more powerful source, Veheichan Tzivanu. You know where he told me? Shirul Hashem, Kigalga. That's Avraham's, Ben Arambam's question on Daniel Habavli. On Daniel Habavli. Now, I am a little surprised that Rabbi Avraham could have asked a much more powerful question on the source of Daniel Habavli. Much more powerful. Rambam writes, I'm sorry I didn't photostat this, but the Rambam writes the following. Rambam himself, why didn't he cite his father for the following challenge against Daniel, namely the source of Shiru Lashem Kigao Ga'a is not a valid source. Can anybody tell me why it is not a valid source? Yes. Okay, that's a good question. Hashem didn't say Shiru Lashem Kigao, but the assumption is that Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. But that's a good question. Another question.
Well, do we know that when Moshe said it, he meant it for all time as opposed to the specific occasion?
Okay, so then, that's always a question. Right. When you find something in the Chumash, is that a mitzvah l'dorot? Or is it only a temperate? That's also a good question. I'm going to give you the source, the issue. Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Avelut, mid'oraita, is only the first day. And yet, how many days did they mourn Jacob, our father? How many days? 30 days. Vayivku oto shloshim yom. That's what it says. So why only the first days, d'oraisa? Says the Rambam, nitna. Write down these four words. Nitna Torah v'nitchasha nitchadsha halacha nitna Torah v'nitchadsha halacha vos meintos that nothing prior to Mamar Har Sinai has any validity whatsoever as a potential source of a mitzvah of the Torah.
So why they mourn for Aaron for 30 days?
What?
So why they mourn for Aaron for 30 days?
But it also says in Parshat Shmini, Achalti Chatas Hayom, they had only one day. That was Am Yisrael's personal thing. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had legislated was only the first day. And that's in Parshat Shmini. In fact, I'll give you an example. The fact that Grandpa Abe circumcised himself and his children has no relevance to us whatsoever. Because Avraham was before Mamon Har Sinai. So, just because Avraham circumcised doesn't mean anything to us. There is another pasuk, one little pasuk, in Vayikra chapter 12, in which discusses childbirth of a woman, that she has to bring a korban after she gives birth. So it says, "Ubayom hashmini yimol besara olato." On the eighth day, you circumcise your child. If not for that pasuk, we wouldn't have to do brit milah, because nitna Torah v'nitchadsha halacha. Same thing with shivas yimei hamishte. In this week's parsha, Avraham Yaakov. It has Malei Shavuazos. So many say it means finish the celebration with Leah for this week. Then we'll worry about Rachel. The Medrash says it means 7 years. But the simple pshat might be Malei Shavuazos, just finish this week. Let's not worry about that I gypped you and faked you out and gave you Leah instead of Rachel. We can take care of Rachel later. But how come Shivas Yimei HaMishneh is not Midoraisa? Because this event took place prior to Mamon Har Sinai. So, question which people ask on Rabbi Avraham is, why didn't you ask a more palpotent question against Daniel, citing your pop? Pop says, any source that is found, and it's very difficult to find, for example, another pasuk that you're not allowed to eat the Gidan Hashem.
No. Just this to
Matt. Good, so why are you afraid to ask me?
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Why not? It's okay. If you got the right question,
but
it's good.
We were given the Torah at Har Sinai, we were also given the historical Torah.
But it doesn't have any impact on halachic life. That's the Rambam's opinion. Only that which God articulated at Sinai has halachic validity. That's his principle. Nitna Torah v'nitchadsha halacha. New halachot. That which is legislated before doesn't exist. So you have to kvetch. Where is there a pasuk about Gidan Asher? Where is there another pasuk of Avraham and Achai? Where are we going to find things like this? Where is there another pasuk of Puruvu? Hard to find such a pasuk. Puruvu doesn't exist out of Sefer Bereishis. It's very difficult.
We say, what's the first mitzvah? All the kids know what's the first mitzvah. No, but we say HaKadosh Elohim is the first.
That was the first mitzvah given to Klal. And that's also before Mamon Har Sinai.
All of these. I know.
I know. Of course. But that the Rambam has an answer for. He says there's all subsumed on the V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. All mitzvot chesed is V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. Yes.
Do we always pass the word to Mocha? Everybody follows Rambam's Shita?
No. But in this, I'm saying is in his response to Daniel Abavli, and the overwhelming majority of Rishonim agreeing with him at that. Not everybody, but Avraham, the son of, should have used this against Daniel, but he didn't. It's a possibility. I don't know. So this, the fact that the Gemara has to kvetch and say v'heichan tzivanu, and didn't just say, it says, Shiru Lashem, Shiru Kigalda, says Avraham, Mr. Daniel, you're wrong. That is not a correct source for the mitzvah of Hallel.
Every part of the Hallel is
that is correct.
So So we're still including it as
yes,
while you
yes.
say it? Like we ask for things during Shabbat.
That is correct, because we acknowledge that although HaKadosh Baruch Hu did redeem us, and it doesn't mean it's going to happen in the future. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should be worthy of sustaining whatever He did at that time. That's exactly the point of that. Please go to page number 2 for a minute. Whereas Purim has a source in Torah Shebiktav, Megillah Esther is one of the books of the Bible, Chanukah obviously does not. There is no textual reference to Chanukah in Tanakh, because during Bayit Sheni there were no Nevi'im any longer. Ezra and Nehemiah, who ushered in the building of Bayit Sheni, they were the last Nevi'im, and that's it. During Bayit Sheni, no Nevi'im. Well, if there's no Nevi'im, there's no Nevuah, and therefore the events of Chanukah don't have a recorded text. But there is a book, it's called Megillat Ta'anit. And that's where Chanukah is actually documented. The famous story, which we all know, My Chanukah, the famous Braita, what is Chanukah? And it tells you the story, that on the 25th day of the month of Kislev, when the Yevanim came in, and the Chashmonaim won, and they went into the Mikdash, and they found only one Kuz of oil. That's a Braita in Megillat Ta'anit. That's the primary source of Chanukah. Megillah happens to be mentioned there as well. The fact that Purim is also mentioned there. But it's a collection of days during which you are not allowed to fast. That's why it's called Megillat Ta'anit. And also you were not permitted to eulogize. And it's a very long list. Very long list of days. Overwhelming majority of them are related to victories that took place in the Beit HaMikdash. Not necessarily against enemies from without, but enemies from within. From within. Namely, the Tzdukim, who gave us many, many problems. Many problems. And there were debates between the Tzdukim and the Purushim, and many times when the Purushim proved that they were right, they made a holiday during which you're not allowed to fast, and you're not allowed to eulogize. Not allowed to eulogize. So, and it just gives more days for a rabbi to run the risk that he's going to lose his job. Right? Not everybody can be like Rav Breuer, Zichrono Livracha, or Rabbi Schwab from Breuer's, because the joke was, when you go to a Levaya from Breuer's, you don't even have to feed the meter. Because all they're going to do is say one parak of Tehillim. If it's on Chana, any day when you're not allowed to eulogize, they never said a word. Never said a word. Because no one's going to fire Rabbi Schwab. But plenty of Rabbanim.
Why are you not allowed to eulogize on those days?
Because they're happy days. And if it's a happy day, we don't want the festivities, the mood, to be disturbed and interrupted by a eulogy which brings people to engage in crying. So, I know. No, so, okay.
Something wrong.
So, a famous darshan today once said, oh no, so that's what every rabbi does. I know you're not allowed to. Exactly. They have to. Yes, I know. A Rav who I used to daven in Washington Heights, he got fired when one of my, it was actually Seymour's father. When he passed away, it was a Chol HaShemoed. The rabbi refused to say anything, and they got rid of him very shortly. Because, you know, he was a very important member of the shul, and didn't make a haspid. Yeah. Anyhow, fine. Yeah. So, just to take care of your point, Vivi, one darshan once said, the Gemara says that anyone who is lo nispad kehalacha is guaranteed olam haba. Guaranteed. If you were not nispad kehalacha, the simple interpretation means that you were not appropriately more eulogized. The Hesped weren't appropriate for you. They didn't do a good job. And it's not easy to write a good Hesped. That, the Rav rarely used to speak at the Levaya because he wanted to really prepare his thoughts. He always did it at a later time. And he's written great Hespedim, tremendous. They're pages and pages long. Fine. So someone once said that who is Olam Haba? If you are not Shalom Nispad, because the halacha said not to be maspid you. Not kalacha means appropriately, but based on the fact that the halacha says today's Rosh Chodesh, no haspid. Today's Chol HaMoed, no haspid. Today's Chanukah, no haspid. Itmar, bottom of the page, page 2. This is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches Amud Beis. Rav v'Rab Chanina Amrei, Batla Megillas Tanis. Rav and Rav Chanina say that after Bayit Sheni was destroyed, Megillas Tanis was eliminated. And mostly it's true. There are 25 days, maybe more, that we don't observe today as Yomim Tovim, for which there is an Issa Hesped and Tainis. Rav Yochanan and Rav Yeshua ben Levi Amri Lo Batla Megillas Tanis. No, they're still in effect even today, post Bayit Sheni. Post Bayit Sheni. So, if you believe that Megillas Tanis is batel, so what should be batel as well? The Yantav of Chanukah. So the Gemara says, Chanukah and Purim are the exceptions to the rule. Okay, it's nice to say Chanukah and Purim are the exceptions to the rule, but that's the way we paskin. We believe that Megillas Tanis has no validity today whatsoever, and any of the days that are mentioned there have zero significance on our calendar. And however, we still continue to observe Chanukah and Purim. Says the Gemara in Shabbat on page 3. Yes.
What do you mean they're out of order? No, because we're reading the Hebrew.
The translation in Rosh Hashanah 18b, page 5 out of... There are 7 pages in Sepharia for this page. Right. So, not a problem. Not a problem. So, again, if there are those who claim... Now, why would somebody bring this as a challenge to Daniel HaBavli? Why would somebody bring this as a challenge to Daniel HaBavli? This statement about canceling Megillas Tanis.
Because if it's dependent on the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan are not using it,
it's quite obvious that the festival of Chanukah, designed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his victory over our enemies, is not Doraita. Because if it's Doraita, who cares whether Chanukah is an exception to the rule, whether Batla Megillas Tanis or not? Who cares? We have an independent source. Shiru Lashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a. So Rabbi Avraham says, since the Gemara tells us that one opinion is that Megillas Tanis has been cancelled, and one opinion says it has not been cancelled, and what is the compromise position? It has been cancelled. And what's left over? Chanukah. Ah, if they had to come up with an exception to Chanukah and Purim, it's because, according to Torah law, that doesn't exist. Had you been correct, and he himself said that it is, that the pasuk of Shiru Lashem Ki Ga'o Ga'a is the source of the observance of Chanukah. says Rabbi Avraham. What are you talking about? This whole Gemara would make no sense whatsoever if you were right, Mr. Daniel Hababli. Mr. Daniel Hababli. Yes. Now, the question now becomes, what's the big deal if I don't have a biblical source or any source to recite Hallel? I'll say Hallel. Well, okay, so I won't make a bracha. The fulfillment of a mitzvah is never hinges on what? On the recitation of a bracha in any mitzvah. So why don't I just say, I need a source to tell me that I have a right to say thank you to the Rabbeinu Shalom? Why can't I say to Rabbeinu Shalom, thank
you? Everyone will do it. Some people.
But let's assume we will all do it.
But what would be the impetus?
Impetus is that we feel and sense we owe him a debt of gratitude. So why do I necessarily need a source? So there's a Gemara to address that as well. Page 3, a famous Gemara in Shabbat, page 118b. The bottom of that page, and Vivi, there are 7 of those pages too. So it's not going to turn on the next page. Okay. Omer Rabbi Yossi. This is a famous statement of Rabbi Yossi. Yehei chelki me'ochle shalosh su'udot b'shabbat. May my reward in the world to come be amongst those who eat shalosh su'udot on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Eat 3 meals on Shabbos. Many people are a little lax in eating su'udah shlishit. A little lax, especially in the winter. That is correct. That is correct. Many people are a little lax. And so he's saying, I wish I can have my lot amongst those who are makpid on su'udah shlishis. Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying. Om Rabbi Yossi. Now Rabbi Yossi said something else. Yehei chelki migomrei halel b'chol yom. I wish my lot in the world to come will be amongst those who recite the halel every single day. They feel so inspired that they owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu a debt of gratitude, even if there's nothing happening. Because I understand how precarious life is. And the fact that I'm breathing and everything's going well, I just say, Hallel, thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, every single day. Ask the Gemara, Eini, Sinishtazai. That can't be that you're going to get reward in the world to come. Why? For Ha'omar Mar, it had been said, Hakore Halel B'chol Yom, Hareze Mecharef U'Megadef. Anybody who recites the Halel every single day, it's considered nothing but blasphemy.
Not every day. Every day that you're required to.
That's not what Rabbi Yossi said. B'chol Yom.
Every day.
That's what he said. So they challenged him. How can you say Hallel every day? If you say Hallel every day, you're engaged in blasphemy. Answers the Gemara, Ki ko amrinan psukei dezimra. What did Rabbi Yossi have in mind? For those people who recite psukei dezimra every day with kavana and so on and so on, I wish that my lot in the world to come.
This was in one of your words.
What?
You said this in one of your words.
It's possible. Don't remember. Psukei dezimra. I don't think I would have said it yet because I'm not up to Psukei dezimra yet.
No,
I will say it.
It was before Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's possible. That's possible. Yes?
But that's then taking license to interpret Hallel as Tehillim. You know, like what you say during Psukei dezimra. But all the other times we've talked about Hallel, it's always been what we know as Hallel.
Right. And the Gemara is establishing the difference. To recite Psukei dezimra is appropriate every day.
Right.
To recite Hallel every single day is not appropriate. And the reason is because Psukei dezimra thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the realm of nature. Mm-hmm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does great things for us, but it's within the realm of nature. And in the realm of nature, nature participates in the singing of the song of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ruach se'ara u'sadavar, Eitz peri v'chal arazim, Hachaya v'chol behema, Remes v'tzipor kanaf.
It's not nisim.
That's correct. Right. They are nisim. But natural law, teva is an ace. Teva is an ace. But for that, you have a right to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not operate lima'ala miderech ha-teva every single day. And that's why it's blasphemy to say what we call Hallel every single day. But this supports the fact that what happened, that when you are asking people to say Hallel, you can't just decide this on your own. Somebody has to tell you to say Hallel. Somebody has to tell you to say Hallel. Can't just say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to say Hallel. Can't. Someone has to tell you that today is a day that is worthy of the recitation of Hallel. That it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is operating today lima'ala, above and beyond the laws of nature, perhaps even suspending the laws of nature. And no one on the planet has a right to say, you know what, we think it's appropriate to say Hallel. No. Someone has to tell you to say Hallel. And that is why, since the Gemara, it's a rather harsh expression, that if you say Hallel, it's considered nothing but Mecharev or Megadev. That's why we are struggling to find a source, either rabbinic or biblical, preferably biblical, to recite the Hallel, because otherwise you run the risk of being considered something that is someone who is considered a Mecharev or Megadev. Charif and Gan. What? Okay, so the Gemara asks about Rosh Chodesh, and the Gemara will come to the, will cut to it in a couple of minutes. We'll say, Rosh Chodesh, there is no reason to say Hallel, and there is no mitzvah to do so. It's only a minhag, and that's why Sephardic Jews do not recite a bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh, because there is no vitzivanu. There is none. Yes.
What about Yom HaTzimut?
So I have spoken about Yom HaTzmaut. We believe that is exactly compared to Hanukkah and to Purim. Exactly Hanukkah and to Purim. And in fact, the Rav once suggested the following. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, the way the sequence of his formulating the holidays, he follows the calendar. He starts with Hilchos Pesach, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, Rosh Chodesh, Rishon Hu L'Chodshei Hashanah. So we start with Pesach. Then he goes to Shavuos. Then he goes to Rosh Hashanah. Then he goes to Yom Kippur. Then to Sukkot. Then to Chanukah. And then to Purim. Because Purim is in the last month of the year, Shnei Masar, the month of Adar. The Rambam inverted Megillah and Chanukah. That's one answer. That's not the Rav's answer. He's not going to satisfy with an historical answer. Comes up with a more fundamental reason. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah challenged Esther when she wanted to establish Purim as a Yom Tov, and said that by establishing another Yom Tov, she is violating a biblical law. Which biblical law is she violating?
Yes.
Baal Tosif. Exactly. You're not allowed to add on to the Torah. Not allowed to add. And Esther, in the debate quoted in the Midrash and the Gemara, said, I'm not adding on to the Torah. Let me ask you, rabbis. Didn't you tell us that we have to fast Shivas HaBetamuz and Asara B'Teves and Som Gedalia and Tisha B'Av? Where does it say those fasts in the Torah? Torah only says one fast day, Yom Kippur. So they said, our fast day is not a new mitzvah. The ultimate goal of a fast day is to promote which mitzvah of the Torah? Tshuva. It's just, we just said, fast so that you will engage in some degree of contemplation, change your routine, and then you will have an opportunity to what? To recognize that you have to repay yourself. Esther said the same thing. my Yom Tov is nothing new. All I'm doing is saying thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim and saying Hallel, just like they did at Pesach and Sukkos and Shavuos. So So the Rambam said, if not for the victory of Esther against the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, there would have been no Hanukkah either. Had she lost the argument that the addition of a Yom Tov is a violation of Baal Tosef, the Chashmonaim could not have violated. That's why the Rambam puts Megillah first. And that's why we have a right to observe Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. It's the same thing. We can add an additional Yom Tov based on that parallel established by Esther.
Or Persimmon Nisa, as you said at the beginning, it's wrong not to.
Correct.
The world alone.
Good.
Maybe this isn't America.
Good. Good. We are now going to see another source of the same idea of Persimmon Nisa, but a different pasuk. Not Shiru Lashem Kiga Oga. And this is authored by the She'iltos, page 8. Authored by the She'iltos. The She'iltos was written in the middle of the 8th century by Rav Achoi Gon. Rav Achoi Gon. It's not a popular work. It's only people, most people don't have the She'iltos. Like everybody says, Hakol Toli B'mazel, Afilu Sefer Torah Shebeheichal. That's what the Gemara says. Even the Sefer Torah needs luck. Because there's 6 Sefer Torah in the Aron. Which one's the Gabbai going to take out? He can take out one they use all the time, the other one's sitting there, no one's ever using it. Hakol Toli B'mazel. And the same thing is true with manuscripts. If there was a manuscript that some printer picked up and he wrote that commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, well, that guy's going to be known. That's what happened to the Ramah. Some printer picked up the Ramah's manuscript. I'm going to print it in the Shulchan Aruch. And there is another exact same thing like the Ramah. It's called the Marshal. And nobody has the Marshal because you got to buy it in a Sfarim store, and till they published it, there were 5 Marshals in the whole world.
Yes.
The whole world. So the Marshal never got known. And they wrote the same type of work as the Ramah, because Hako Toli B'mazel. And the She'iltos had bad mazel. It was not published until very recently, at least on a widespread basis. But the She'iltos, he's a Gaon. He's before all the Rishonim. He's before Rashi's. He's in the eighth century, much before the Rishonim. And he writes She'ilta, number 26, de mechayvin de Beis Yisrael leuruye uleshabuche kame shmaya beitna de Misra, page 8. Be'itna de Misrachesh lehu nisa, that Am Yisrael are obligated le'uruye u'le'shabuche to learn and to praise, to learn about the day and to praise Kamei Shmaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'itna at a time de Misrachesh lehu nisa, that a miracle takes place. How do I know? Dichsiv, Hallelu et Hashem, Kol Goyim, Kol Homik, Shabuchu, Hallelu Kol Goyim, Shabuchu Kol Homim. Why? Ki Gavar Aleinu Chazdal, Demes Hashem in the Kodim. Asks the Shiltos. Atu, Mishum de Gavar Aleinu Chazdal, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed prevailed over us by defeating the enemy. Hallelu et Hashem Kol Goyim. That's why I should. All of the nations of the world are going to say praise. Elohachi kamar. Hallelujah, Hashem kol goyim, madavid imchom. The nations of the world are going to recognize what I, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, did on whose behalf, Am Yisrael. The kol shekein anan. If the goyim are going to recognize that. Certainly, Betach, who has to recognize that? We do. Anan, the Gavar Aleinu Chasdo, because we were the recipients of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed. So here, this says the She'iltos is the basis of reciting Hallel for every time that we can identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miracle that took place on our behalf. And in fact, he later goes on to say, based on a Gemara in Maseches Brachot, it's not just the day that triggers the obligation. It's the location as well. If you come to a place where a miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu took place, you have an obligation. Even the middle of the summer, if you come to the Nile, if you come to Kriyas, you come to the Yam Suf, and you are there, you have to say Hallel. You have to say Hallel. If you come to a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle for you, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam She'asa Li Neis B'Makom Hazeh. And if he did a miracle someplace else, every time you go to one, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the other as well. She'asa Li Neis B'Makom Hazeh U'B'Makom Acher. Always, we always said that. Whenever there's a trigger to say Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's always for every single miracle that took place. Says the She'iltos, the Rav Achoy Gaon. I don't need the Pasuk of Shirul Hashem Kigolga. I have a Pasuk in Hallel itself that tells me that I'm supposed to say Hallel. Hallelujah Hashem Kol Goyim. All of the nations will ultimately sing the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Kigavo Aleinu Chasdo. They will recognize it. Well, if they recognize it, certainly what? Good. This idea is found in the Chumash. Can anybody tell me of a Gentile who recognized, what's his name? Yisro. What did Yisro say? Baruch Hashem, asher hitzil etchem miyad paro u'miyad Mitzrayim. And in fact, the Gemara says that Am Yisrael have a lot to learn from Yisrael. And there was a taina against Am Yisrael, as opposed to what I said 45 minutes ago, that you wait until the conclusion. No, you don't wait till the conclusion. Each stage along the way merits its own shevach. And Yisrael said, Baruch Hashem, not that he split the Yamsuf, asher hitzil eschem miyad paro u'miyad Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim he took you out. And there was a taina, the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hashem, Yisrael recognized it, and you didn't say Hallel when you left Mitzrayim? You didn't say Hallel? You should. Even as there are stages along the way. And according to the She'iltos, that now becomes the basis of our obligation to recite Hallel. The Kal V'Chomer, and the problem is that it's not necessarily a din d'orait, it's not a pasuk in the Torah, it's in Tehillim. It's hard to say that a mitzvah d'oraita is founded upon a pasuk in Tehillim. It has got to be in the Chumash. But the She'iltos is a collection of the Taryag Mitzvot. It's arranged based on every parsha. Where did the She'iltos write this number 26? Right on Parshas Vayeshev. Not that there was any miracle, but that's when Chanukah is. Chanukah is always Parshas Vayeshev and Miketz. So around that time, he decided to formulate this particular obligation of saying Hallel unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right? Yes?
Just one question. Does okay. that have to be the terminology of Hallel, or could
it
be any kind of Hallel?
No, we assume that it's the Hallel which David HaMelech said.
What we said.
Yes. That's the Gemara's answer why they didn't say Hallel for Purim. Because it took place in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, that's one. It's one of the answers. I didn't get a chance to do it. Yeah. Okay, stop here.